So we're continuing in our series looking at these five practices of fruitfulness, these five things that we want to be as a church which help us grow and become fruitful in our walk with Jesus. That as we want to be people who grow, there are things that we can be pursuing that will help that come into full fruitfulness. And today we're going to be looking at intentional faith development. In fact, we've looked at how radical hospitality is our first practice. And how, as we experience the radical love of God in our lives, so we show that to other people. How that then feeds into, once we've experienced that love of God, that actually there's a reciprocation of that. I'm actually saying, God, thank you for the love you've shown me. Let me show love back to you. So out of the radical hospitality of God comes our passionate worship. And as we experience more of who God is and that transformation of being in God's presence, there becomes a desire to want to know more about who this God is. To grow, to learn more, to actually, how can I step into all this God says is for me? In the cartoon strip Peanuts with Charlie Brown and Snoopy, in one of the cartoons there is where Lucy, one of the characters, she's got a sign up saying, psychological analysis, $1. And Charlie Brown comes along and says to her, what's your idea? And she says, well, I believe life is like a cruise liner. Some people have their deck chairs facing forwards, and some people have their deck chairs facing backwards. And Charlie Brown's response to that is going, I can't even get the deck chair open. We find meaning and purpose when we discover the author of creation. If you want to know what your life's all about, you find meaning and purpose in who God is. Why? Because when you discover who God is, you discover that God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life. And what you discover is that he has made you with particular gifts, skills, and talents, which mean that you can do something that no one else can do. And God wants to help you develop that to mean that your life has purpose and meaning not only for you, but for other people. That we find fullness of life when we pursue God, because actually it's only in God that we find meaning and purpose. And we live in a world which is hungry for meaning and purpose. But the thing about meaning and purpose is, if you want to find it, you've got to go looking for it. You've got to pursue it. You've got to take some responsibility to find it. And in our culture today, no one wants to take responsibility for that seeking and finding. Everyone wants to be told where it's found now. There's no journey. But what you discover as you go on an adventure with Jesus is that this is a lifelong journey. And at the end of it, you still will find out that there's still more to know of who God is. There's still more to experience of who what he has for you. And actually only when we switch over into eternity will we discover the fullness that we never knew in this life. I want to take you this morning in, if you've got a Bible, so a simple couple of readings this morning. We've got from Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 5. So the end of Matthew chapter 4 and the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. So in Matthew chapter 4, towards the end of it, it says this. Oh. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4 is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. You've got the first couple of chapters, which are all about Jesus being born, the birth narrative, where he comes from, what's all that about. You've got the three kings come and find Jesus. Chapter 3, we've got a bit about John the Baptist. And in chapter 4, Jesus goes into the wilderness and comes out ready to start his ministry, start what he's all about. And as he starts to go about teaching and preaching, crowds gather around him and go, oh, this is good. We like this. See, Jesus goes to the people. God has come to say, I want to come and meet you. God comes to us. That's the radical hospitality of God. He comes to us. He wants to say, you are important. I'm coming to you and I want to come and tell you the story of the kingdom which brings life, healing and goodness. But what's interesting is when you go to chapter 5, you've got this big crowd gathering around Jesus in chapter 4. And at the beginning of chapter 5, the start of the Sermon on the Mount, it says this. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up on a mountainside. He sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Now, I don't know about you, but when I imagine the Sermon on the Mount, I imagine Jesus preaching to thousands of people. But the beginning of chapter 5 doesn't say that. It says, Jesus leaves the crowd of people, he goes up on a mountainside, and he begins to teach his disciples. What Jesus does, when he sees people gathering around him, he comes to you. He comes to say, I'm here to bring healing and wholeness and life to you. But if you want to go further, there's a bit more challenge involved. Jesus doesn't stay with the crowd. He actively chooses to go somewhere where it's difficult to follow. He is up a mountainside. And it says the people who follow him are his disciples. If we go back to that series I preached a few months back now about apprenticeship to Jesus, people who wanted to be like him went where he went. See, it's really easy to be part of the crowd who go, oh, this Jesus guy's not too bad, he's all right. I get something from him, that's all right. But the question this morning is, are you part of the crowd or are you part of the committed? The crowd kind of see the initial, what Jesus offers, and they go, yay, great. But Jesus wants to take you further and beyond that. He wants to take you into a place of just not being part of the crowd, but being part of the committed. People who learn more from him, who experience what his life looked like. Because the gospel is about this. Come as you are. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus says, come to me. Come everyone. Doesn't matter. There's no discrimination from Jesus' point of view. But the challenge of Jesus is this. Come as you are, but don't stay the same. Come as you are, but don't stay the same. And it's easy to hear the come as you are bit, and we get excited by that because it's going, oh, I haven't got to do anything, I haven't got to change anything, which is true. You come as you are. But if you want to experience the life-changing purpose and meaning of Jesus in your life, you've got to switch over from being just part of the crowd, which is come as you are, to the don't stay the same, which is being part of the committed. And what Jesus does is he steps away from the crowd and says, if you want to follow me, I'm going to make it just a little bit step harder for you to follow. Are you actually committed to this? Do you actually want this? Or are you just playing at it? And the challenge this morning is saying, are we prepared to look at what it means to grow up in our salvation? These are the words of 1 Peter, where Peter says, grow up in your salvation. You need to not just stay where you are, but there's transformation to take place, to grow up. And the Bible uses time and time again the imagery about coming, that it's like you're a newborn baby. When you become a Christian, like a newborn baby. And initially, when you're a newborn baby, you need spiritual milk, and you need looking after, and you need care, and you need looking after, and all those sort of things. But actually, there comes a point when you've got to actually grow up and be an adult. See, when we're a child, we are other people's responsibility. But when we become an adult, it becomes our responsibility. And it's very easy, and particularly in today's culture, it's saying it's all about what people need to do for me. And it's an infantile culture. But actually, growing up is about saying, I take responsibility and ownership for me. For the decisions that I make, I take responsibility for the things that happen around me in my life. I take ownership of those things. So the call of intentional faith development is the call of saying, God says, come as you are. You are invited. There's no discrimination as to who you are. Come as you are. But the challenge is, don't stay the same. Why? Because there's more to you than you could imagine. And your life finds meaning and purpose when you let go of who you are and where you're currently and say, actually, God, I'm going to step into the adventure of saying, who could I become when I journey after you, when I become part of the committed rather than just being part of the crowd? And you know what? You can stay part of the crowd for the whole of your Christian life and you'll still meet Jesus in heaven and it'll be wonderful. But you will miss out. You can stay where you are. but you will miss out. There's so much more for you to experience. So please hear this right. This isn't me having a go at you. This is me trying to encourage you to say, you can stay where you are, you can live your Christian life as it currently is, and that's fine. But why would you stay where you are when there's so much more for you to experience and to know? So we have to grow up, become an adult in our faith. It says in Ephesians 4, 14, 15, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemings. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Again, that call of saying, the problem with immaturity is often is that we hear this and we hear that and we hear this and we get tossed about because we're not quite sure what it's all about. Actually maturing and saying, I actively choose to pursue what God says rather than just going, oh, that person said this and this person said this and that person said this. It's taking a responsibility to say, well, what do I think? Not what's the pastor say, not what's my friend say, but what do I think? What's God saying to me about this? Moving from being part of the crowd to being part of the committed. But we have to do this intentionally. We have to be intentional in this journey of growth. And being intentional refers to a deliberate effort, purposeful action, and the high priority to pursue personal growth in following Jesus. We have to be intentional. It won't happen by accident. It won't happen on a whim. It happens when we choose to say, I am actively going to make this a priority to grow in my faith. I'm actively going to choose to make a purposeful action towards what needs to happen in order for me to grow. I'm going to do something in order to make that a reality in my life. It's come to Jesus as you are, but don't stay the same. Do something about what you hear. Put into action what Jesus says. Live it out, and I guarantee you it will change your life. Because what I truly know from experience and what I truly believe is this. When you live what the Bible says, it makes your life better. It doesn't make it easier, but it makes life better. It makes life more full of hope and it makes life more full of purpose. But it isn't necessarily easier. And often we choose easy over purpose and meaning. We choose other people taking responsibility for us rather than us taking responsibility for ourselves. We've got to grow up in our salvation, be intentional in that pursuit. Why do you have to be intentional about it? Because if you're not being intentional about what it looks like, other things will be shaping you in your life. And if we go back to that series I did on apprenticeship to Jesus, then you might remember this diagram that I showed you about intentional and unintentional spiritual formation, about the things that actually help us change or not change, and saying, in your life, always, the things that are shaping you, whether you realize it or not, are the stories that we believe, the relationships that we have, and the habits that we form, and all that happens in the environment in which we exist. And whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, whether you believe this or not, all these things are shaping you all the time. That what you choose to believe, whether you choose to believe a certain newspaper, whether you choose to believe a certain media outlet, whether you choose to believe the Bible, whether you choose to believe what your friends or family say about certain things, what you choose to believe will shape how you respond to things. The relationships that you have, again, will shape you. And the problem with relationships is often we find relationships with people who are like us and agree with what we think. And therefore what happens is we get rid of relationships that don't challenge us often. And so the people around us will shape what we think, what we believe, because they'll have opinions, they'll have ideas. So the relationships that you have shape you in some way. And the habits that you form, we all form habits without even thinking about it. Whether that's when we clean our teeth in the morning or in the evening or when we do certain things, how we choose to go about our morning business, there'll be a certain routine that we fall into. See, habits we fall into, it's not something we just kind of go, I'm not going to have a habit. We fall into routines that become part of who we are. And again, the environment which you live in will shape what you think or what you understand. If you live in the UK, you'll have a different perception on things than if you live in a different culture, in another country. And for those of you who are from a different culture and background or from a different country in the room, you'll know that the environment of the UK and where you're from or where your background is different. And there's often moments where you kind of go, oh, I didn't get that. There's in-jokes, or there's certain cultural little nuances that you're going, oh, what's this about? Why in England do you have this, or why do you have that? And notice the environment shapes who you are. So you are always being spiritually formed, whether you realize it or not. The question is, are you going to take responsibility for that and be intentional in what that looks like, or are you just going to let it happen to you? And too many of us just let it happen to us, and we fall into what things look like, but they're not necessarily things that actually help us move forward and grow. So we have to be intentional in our formation. And I'm not going to go over it all again, because it's all in the teaching series on apprenticeship to Jesus. If you want to know more about it, go to that teaching online, and you can hear more about this then. But we talked about how you need to replace those things with, what's instructing my life? What's the teaching in my life that's going to be the story that I live by? We looked at, rather than just relationships, we need to be in community, because it's in community that we find challenge and we find support. And so that's a place where we grow because of that. And we need to have practice rather than just habit. Habits formed by accident, practice is something that we choose to say, actually, I'm going to do this again and again and again to make this part of my life, to benefit me in the long run. Like if you're playing a sport, you practice and practice and practice so you get better at it. It doesn't just happen naturally over time. You have to actively pursue it. And all that happens in the environment of the Holy Spirit. Actually, we have received the Holy Spirit, and He is the environment in which all things hold together. He brings life out of all of those things. So we have to be intentional in our spiritual formation. We have to develop faith. And so the question I've got for you right now to think about is this. How do we measure if we are growing as a believer? How do we measure if we're growing as a believer? Because it's easy to go, well, I've read more Bible, I've done more praying, I've done more this, I've been to church more. Does that mean you're growing as a believer? Not necessarily. You see, what I think marks us out as if we're growing as a believer is this. Do I trust God more today than I did yesterday? Because the word believer is also the word to trust or to have faith. They're all the same word in Greek. And it's this, it's going, so personally, I believe in the principles of sowing and reaping in the Bible. I believe in tithing. I believe that actually if you give a proportion of your income away and for towards God, I believe that actually your rest of your finances are blessed. And what I've experienced over time is that when I choose to trust God in that, and I choose to tithe rather than not tithe, I find actually somehow I have enough money left at the end of the month. What I find is when I don't tithe, because I think I'm going to be tight for money, I end up not having enough. Now, I'm not trying to say you've got to work out your own finances and how you work that thing. But I'm saying from my experience, what I have found, that when my tithing isn't right with God, my money goes to a mess. But when I prioritize my giving, because I think what the Bible says is true, it works out. So what I'm saying is, do I, in a situation, trust God with my money or not? That's a symbol and sign of weighing, do I trust God more? Do I, when I face a certain situation or a circumstance, do I trust that God's going to come through for me in that situation, or do I spend the whole time in panic? I can test how mature I'm getting in my faith, whether I'm developing my faith, by the fact that, is my anxiety level lessened or increased? Am I trusting God more? Because it's to do with trust. It's saying, actually, I can measure whether I'm trusting God more. There's that family member who I'm desperate to see come to faith, and it's been year after year after year after year, and you're thinking, God, are you there? It's saying, actually, I trust that God's going to do it. I don't give up, I'm trusting. See, because the big thing is, if you want to grow as a believer, it's growing in trust. It's trusting the Father, to trust that God is who He says He is, and He will do what He has promised. And so when you take a step of faith, it's saying, do I trust that God's going to turn up when I'm in need? So maybe, for example, serving in church, you're thinking, I can't do that. Good. Try it. Why? Because it's saying, God, I can't do this, but I trust that you'll meet me in that, and it will work. So you can see whether people are growing in their faith by their level of trust. And by the actions that they take, whether they are things that are within that experience of trust, or whether they're pushing it to grow it. So actually, I want to develop my faith. I want to develop my trust. I want to push the boundaries of where it is. Because what happens is, often is we have moments where we push forward in our faith, and we kind of plateau and go, oh, I've kind of made it. I know quite a lot of Bible now. I know all the songs. I go to church every week. But actually, if you want to grow, you want to grow your faith. It's not knowing more Bible, not praying more, it's not doing all those things. Those things will help shape you, and we'll talk about it in just a moment. But actually, you want to grow faith, which is what is intentional faith development, not intentional knowing more. Intentional faith development, growing your faith, your trust in God. And next week, not this week, the week after, because we've got remembrance next week, the week after that, we're going to look at risk-taking mission and service, and we'll look at how that plays out in the life of our church and in the actions that we actually take. We want to grow trust. So question for you now, to have a bit of a discussion with people near you, if you feel comfortable with that. If you don't, just sit still and don't make eye contact. If you feel comfortable, have a chat with people around you, or have a bit of a think in your own mind. What has grown your faith? In your experience, what are the things that have grown you most in your journey with Jesus so far? What has grown your faith the most? Whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or a long time, what has grown your faith? Just have a little think, have a little discussion with people around you maybe. I'm going to stop talking now, make it really awkward. So anyone want to throw out a few ideas? You're all going, oh no, don't want to talk. Answered prayer. Okay. So have you, so that's been something you've experienced, is it? Or okay, Ian. Brilliant. Yeah, Pete. Yeah. Dion? Okay. Yep.
Forgiving and hope.
Forgiving and hope. What are the things of how people grow their faith?
When I've had to go out beyond me. So
yeah.
Difficult situations that I can't solve.
Difficult situations? Yeah. Beth. Yeah. What other things have helped grow your faith?
Taking up a new job that I'm progressing in it.
Yeah. Yep. Go, Rob.
Stronger than trust, stronger than faith.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Worship. Yeah.
Difficult times.
Difficult times. Yeah, in. Cool. Finally. Joe. Okay. Yeah, Lance? Bad times. Any other ones? Leap of faith. Go put that one into here. Yeah, Brenda. Yeah.
Realizing my stubbornness.
Okay. I'm going to put that one in here then. Yeah. Okay, so what I'm doing here, if you hadn't already worked it out, it's on the back of your in your little cards and your chairs. And they're in a different order on here than they are on your card because I forgot the order. Is that these things are part of six faith catalysts in your life, things that you can actively pursue potentially in order to help grow your faith. Now, the thing about these are, so what they are is we've got practical teaching, we've got private spiritual disciplines, that's like prayer, Bible study, your own times with God. We've got personal ministries, when you actually actively engage in something new with God, when you kind of start serving or doing a ministry. We've got powerful encounter, when actually you just experience God's power in your life, when you have that moment where you're going, I've just met God powerfully. Well, it could be, like here, when you experience forgiveness for that first time, or when you become a Christian for the first time, you go, oh, I've just experienced something of God, that powerful encounter. We've got providential relationships. Actually, it's just the right people are in your life at the right time. It's been certain relationships, certain people who are the ones who brought you to faith, or certain people who've helped disciple you and helped you grow, or you've seen people and you've gone, I want to be like them. And they've been the right person at the right time in your life to help you. The right community around you to help you in your walk at that particular moment in time. And then the last one is pivotal circumstances where things just change. A circumstance in your life where you've gone through something where you're going, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And somehow you look back on it from the other side and you go, wow, God was with me in that. But I never saw that's how it was going to happen. I never understood that's what it was going to look like. Now, some of these things we can actively pursue, and some of them we just have to experience. And so I've put these six things onto this intentional spiritual formation diagram. And so we're looking at instruction, community, and practice. And what it looks like is these. That the story that shapes us is about the practical teaching that we receive. Actually, are we living the story of Jesus through understanding his teaching and living it out in our life? Are we in our community, serving our community, being part of our community, living with other people, serving with other people? So it's our personal ministry, what we actively do in our day-to-day life or in church. So it could be our workplace, it could be with our neighbours, it could be in the life of the church, what we actively are doing. And we've got our spiritual practices, kind of our the things that we are choosing to do, learning to pray every day, to read our Bibles every day, to try and experience God every day in our lives. Those things we can actively pursue, but there's some things we can't actively necessarily pursue, but they happen to grow our faith, which is this frustration bit of we can't always make it happen the way we want it to happen. And so what shapes your story is pivotal circumstances. In my life, I've told the story before. When I was at college, felt suicidal and had severe chronic depression, that changed my view of God. That changed my understanding of my faith. It's something that actually helped me grow in my life. When you face tough times often, actually out of the end of it, you go, I'm stronger because of it. I've experienced God because of this. So you can't necessarily predict it, but it's being aware that they will come. You'll have circumstances in your life, whether good or bad, that will be a pivotal moment where it changes everything. Where your whole understanding of God, your whole world will completely change because of a pivotal circumstance and what you experience of God through that particular process. So you can't make it happen, but it will happen to you at some point. We've all probably had those moments in our life where something has happened and you go, wow, that's changed my whole view on how I see life. The providential relationships is actually, we can't necessarily predict who we're going to be in community with. We can't necessarily guarantee who are going to be those key people in our life who are going to help shape and change us. But what we can do is, instead of with pivotal circumstances, we can be prepared saying, it's going to happen at some point. It's not to be surprised when things change. With providential relationships, it's saying, actually, if I'm not engaging in community, there's very little chance that I'm going to experience those relationships with people that are going to help grow me, that are going to help change me. So actually, by getting into community and being in church, in community, whether that be in a small group, which we'll look at in January, we're going to look at launching new small groups with a new way of looking at how we're going to do them. I encourage you to think about getting in a small group because saying, actually, with people, in community, maybe they will be the right person at the right time to bring the word that God needs to bring to you. Actually, the way that they do their life will be the thing that will help shape and change your faith. I look back over my life, and there are key people in my life, and often they're for seasons, who were there for me, who taught me so much about how I see God, how I do my faith. Key people. They might have been that for you. It could be a parent, a grandparent, it might have been someone in church, it might have been someone at school, it might be someone at your workplace. There'll be someone who will be in that key relationship which will help change things. And lastly, when you have that moment of powerful encounter with God, whether that be in worship or in prayer or when you're reading the Bible and you're going, wow, I've just seen God afresh. You can't make it happen, but you can create the environment where God can turn up. So our private disciplines, our reading the Bible, our praying, our times of silence and solitude, our times of celebration, our times of the spiritual practices of the church. It's often in those places that spiritual encounter happens and powerful encounter happens. These are the things that will grow your faith. Some of them you can pursue. Some of them it's being aware that they will happen and being ready for them. So be mindful, are you growing your faith? Because it's all very well saying, I serve in church, but actually, is it causing you to take a bigger step of faith every time you do that? Or have you become part of the crowd rather than the committed? Actually, is the teaching you're listening to and you're looking for, is it actually helping you move forward and grow? I always say to anyone who comes new to this church, if we're the right church for you, great, stick around. If we're not the right church for you, that's fine. Just go somewhere where you feel you can grow. Because I don't care about whether people come to our church or not our church. I care whether people are growing or not. That's the key thing. And if that's here, great. If it's not here, great. Be in the right place at the right time that God wants to use you. It's growing your personal ministry. It's growing that faith. You've got to experience those encounters with God through your spiritual practices. So we have to prepare ourselves to be in a place for growth. Are you trusting God more today than you did yesterday? Are you engaging in that? And are there things in your life that demonstrate that? In the steps of faith that you take? In the things that you do? In the way you're experiencing God? Because these are the things that will grow our faith. Intentional faith development is this. We place ourselves in the most advantageous circumstances to learn and grow in trusting the Father, receiving the Spirit, and telling the story of the Son. Placing yourself in the most advantageous situation and circumstance in order for you to experience the most that God has for you. So look at those six faith catalysts. Be prepared for the ones that you can't plan. Engage in the ones that you can actively engage in. Pursue God. So ultimately today, if you don't remember anything else, I threw a lot of diagrams at you this morning. You can be part of the crowd who come to Jesus and experience his healing, his life, his ministry. But there's so much more for those who are committed. Are you part of the crowd today, or are you part of the committed? Because ultimately, what this weird thing at the front here is trying to represent, this is my hill. Will you climb the mountain? Will you follow Jesus up the mountain? That's the question this morning. Are you part of the crowd or the committed? Because those who follow Jesus go where he goes. And Jesus removes himself from the crowd and he goes to a place where he can be intimate with you, in relationship, where he can give you purpose and meaning. The crowd or the committed? Are you intentionally developing your faith? Are you placing yourself in an advantageous place in order for you to experience more of who God is? So to trust the Father more, to receive his Holy Spirit, and tell the story of the Son in all that we do. Will you climb the mountain, or will you stay with the crowd? That's the question for this morning. Let's pray. So Father God, we thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for the people in our lives that have helped us grow our faith. Thank you for the things that have done that over our journey, Lord. Whether we are new to faith or where we're long in the tooth in this, Father God, there's always more to learn and grow. There's always more we can trust you with in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us trust you more to experience more of your life, your freedom, and your grace, to find purpose and meaning in all that we do by choosing the commitment rather than being part of the crowd. Thank you that we come as we are, but Lord, you call us not to stay as we are. Help us move forward in transformation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.